Chapter 21, Before You Go. I didn't have it in myself to go with Grace, because when I'd fight you used to tell me I was brave. Taylor Swift, My Tears Ricochet. Zuko's broken and damaged and dying. His hair is lanky and sweeps past his shoulders, and his body is weakened and wasted away. He's slowly losing his mind, and there's not much time before he goes. He thinks he sees Azula again, just for a moment. Amber eyes narrowed as she presses something into his hands, and the shackles fall apart. "Don't be a weakling, brother," Dream Azula tells him, before she fades away. Zuko's broken and damaged and dying. But the moment the earth rumbles apart and the mountainside cave splinters apart, Agni's warmth floods in, and Zuko struggles to his feet and fights back. Toph drops a rock on the secluded spot, causing an earthquake and raises chaos, cackling like the little hellion she is. Katara is a tsunami in motion, sweeping her water whips around her in the fiercest manner Sokka's ever seen her, and Aang is storm-bending his three elements in a way that toes the definition of pacifism very, very closely. Sokka himself feels like a vengeful spirit, wielding boomerang and water like a natural extension of his body. It's lucky that Team Avatar has a moral backbone, else the world wouldn't stand a chance. Like an orca wolf with a scent to chase, Sokka makes straight for where the soul bond is tugging, screaming at him to come. The gang, his family, are lethal forces of nature behind him. Sokka's riding on nothing but that flimsy soul bond. He hopes that all his yearning the last few months haven't just been denial of a child unable to accept the loss of a bond that died too young, before it had a chance to bloom properly. He hopes this isn't a wild chase that he's leading to the team's demise. He hopes so painfully, so fervently, that Zuko's made it through. He hopes. Zuko more than makes it through. He wakes up, spitting dying bits of flame and snarling. Golden eyes blaze and loose strands fly in every direction as he ferociously claws his way through everyone that tries to get near him.
"Back off! No! Do not touch me!"
"Zuko, stop! I'm trying to help you!" Katara's plea goes unheard. There's scuffle and struggle, and a lot of not much else making sense. Sokka's every instinct is screaming at him to just run forward and take Zuko into his arms. But he reins himself back, because this is about Zuko, not him.
"I should have looked for him first,"
Sokka thinks, wonders how much more a heart can hurt. He watches with horror as Zuko lashes out and writhes away from gentle hands that try to help him. Zuko, whose clothes are wrecked, who has lashes and claw marks and teeth marks all over his body, whose eyes are wild with no recognition in them. Sokka tries to advance slowly and quietly to not spook the firebender, but he can't help letting out a loud yelp when Katara is thrown almost viciously back.
"Do not touch me!"
Zuko spits and snarls, thrashing.
"Do not put your hands on me!"
"Toph, don't!" Sokka shouts when he sees shackles of rock begin to wrap around Zuko's hands.
"Don't do that to him! He's been imprisoned forever. He's not going to take that well."
"Got any better ideas, Snoozles?" The world must be ending because Toph's voice is trembling.
"If I don't, Sparky here is gonna hurt himself."
Sokka had just enough time to wonder at the new nickname before Zuko realizes his movements are restricted and struggles with almost inhumane strength.
"No!"
Zuko screams, fighting back as his limbs get shackled.
"No, you won't do this again! No, I won't!"
There's an awful crack that almost goes unheard amidst the chaos, and then Zuko's lurching forward in an attempt to run. But he only makes it a couple of steps from them before his legs and lungs weaken and he falls to his knees. The firebender's hands are free from Toph's makeshift rock bindings, but hanging at an odd angle. And holy spirits!
Did he break his own fucking wrist?
Zuko draws in a breath, possibly to torch them. But Toph stamps her foot and entombs the errant firebender head to toe on a rock, save for the part of his head above his eyes. They're forced to hear some muffled whining as Zuko keeps struggling and struggling before the exertion catches up and Zuko goes deathly still and quiet. The silence that falls after the chaos is unnerving, even as more rocks and debris fall in around them. Aang looks traumatized. Toph's small body is shaking as she gestures with her hand to let the stone structures around Zuko collapse. Sokka catches Zuko's unconscious form as it slumps forward, feeling utter exhaustion as he cradles the limp,
too-thin frame and presses his face into the firebender's temple in a useless attempt at comfort.
"I'm so sorry,"
Sokka whispers. Between them, the gold-blue thread of the soul bond vibrates with grief and hurt. Katara is crying quietly, wiping away angry tears, even as she hobbles closer. She reaches for Zuko gingerly, and Sokka almost growls, only letting him go at the last second out of the knowledge that Katara is their best bet at saving his soul bonded.
"I don't dare heal him here," she says. "We need to get out. We need to get out.
Watch out!
Snoozles, wait!"
Sokka's up on his feet and running, giving chase, because he knows who that is, knows who's come to perpetuate his cruelty and escape with his victim. There's a cold darkness lurking under his skin, roaring to be let out, and he's insanely satisfied by the shocked expletives Zhao lets out as he darts forward. He forms several daggers in the air, blunt enough not to draw blood, but large enough to cause some serious damage, and hurls them all at Zhao.
"Yes! Take that, you bastard!"
Zhao sputters, trying to get to his feet, but Sokka advances with another sweep and knocks him flat on his worthless ass. The next wave of his hand sweeps Zhao further back. It's nothing in comparison to the memory of Zuko's torment that still haunts Sokka, even now, in the thick of battle. But it's a start.
"I hope you suffocate until you die,"
Sokka thinks viciously, as he sends another tidal wave crashing point-blank to the bastard's face. In Sokka's humble opinion, for everything he's done to hurt Zuko, Zhao deserves a hell of a lot worse. Shards of rock join his ice assault, and Sokka's so glad Toph is on their side.
"All right, Snoozles, where do you want me to drop this?"
Toph asks, tone all business.
"Just say the word."
"No, Sokka!" Firm hands pull him back.
"Sokka, stop!"
"I want to kill him!"
Sokka snarls.
"I know, Sokka,"
Aang says. His arms are around Zuko, his eyes.
"But they're going to send more people. I'll kill them all! Every single one who is okay with this!"
"Sokka, please." Katara's voice is almost a plea.
"I'm so angry too, but I can't help Zuko properly like this. Not while we're under attack."
And in the end, it's only the thought of Zuko bleeding out with fear and pain being his last memories that makes the cold in Sokka's vein dissipate.
"Fine," he says roughly. "Let's go."
"Wait." Toph's sightless eyes widen.
"There's someone..."
Zhao shouts something obscene at them, and Sokka's murder instincts come back alive and ready to absolutely crush him. But then there's a thunderclap and electricity in the air, and Zhao falls like a puppet with cut strings, twitching. A figure with black strands pulled into a perfect topknot framing amber eyes stands over his form. Azula looks down her proud nose at them, high cheekbones and larger-than-life presence reminding Sokka of a royal progeny from another lifetime. Her predatory gaze roves over them, but she makes no move to come near. Not even to Aang, who is clutching Zuko's form protectively. The hampered avatar and the dying banished prince, two clear easy targets for the fire princess.
"Get out of my sight, peasants!"
Azula commands, before turning her back deliberately, as if declaring, "You are of no threat to me." She darts away. Sokka wonders why the Fire Nation seems to breed traitors from within. Wonders what it is about Zuko that seems to inspire people to either want to kill him or kill for him like this. Wonders if Zuko would find it amusing if he ever voices his thoughts. Zuko would glare and punch him, more likely.
Spirits, Sokka hopes he will.
When they're safely on Appa, Sokka becomes Katara's main obstacle to the healing process. He hauls Zuko until the other boy is pressed flush against him, until he can feel the pressure of Zuko's too-thin frame, the stuttered breaths, the solid bathump that tells him Zuko's alive and whole and safe, even if not necessarily okay. Finally, finally, the too-tight feeling in Sokka's chest that has been constricting him for months starts to ease. He shifts so that their foreheads touch. That's when he realizes that though half-lidded with pain and drowsy with exhaustion, those beautiful golden eyes are open and looking back into his.
"Hey,"
Sokka whispers, stroking Zuko's lanky hair. It's so much longer than he remembers, and that makes him ache all over.
"We've got to stop meeting like this, buddy."
There's no response, and for a moment, Sokka feels fear lance through him. Was Zuko too far gone? Was his mind broken? He reaches out desperately through their soul bond. He thinks of boomerangs and fire daggers, dimpled shy smiles, turtle ducks and fire lilies, and hand-to-hand sparring in the sunlight.
"Please, please, please. I've barely gotten to know him. It can't die before it starts. Please, Zuko, please!" Saga?
The voice is horrible and raspy, not in the attractive sense, but in the way of someone who's been screaming too loud for too long. But it's Zuko. Sokka nearly cries as he hugs the other boy tighter. Zuko starts hacking a horrible cough into his shoulder. If there are broken little sobs in between, that's for only him and Zuko to know.
Hey, Sunshine, you've been really missed.
Sokka strokes the base of the other boy's neck in a way that's meant to be comforting. But Zuko's trembling a lot harder all of a sudden, and memories of despicable touch, both cruel and unwontedly pleasant, drift freely from their soul bond. Horror dawns, and Sokka loosens his grasp, but doesn't let go completely, because he needs this too.
Hey, hey, easy there, Sokka whispers. Breathe with me.
He sends strong feelings of protectiveness and images of turtle ducks and soft, cute things through their soul bond. He even tries with all the jokes, with the hilarious punchlines Katara calls stupid, but Sokka knows are brilliant because Sokka is brilliant.
What do they call a man who firebends in the South Pole? A hot man!
There's no response from the other end, but it must work a little, because he feels Zuko's smile against his collarbone.
I'm taking us to the Western Air Temple. He hears Aang tell a questioning Katara. It's where the monks used to take the injured to heal, because there's a lot of open space and tranquility.
All right, Sneasels, take us straight there, Toph says. No chasing any butterflies.
Aang looks around. What butterfly?
Katara laughs weakly, and for the first time in a long time, Sokka thinks they might just be okay.